because there is something in life that says he can't escape them. And the symbol of that something in ancient times was the great mother of mysteries, the great mother of the world. For all physical creatures are under one motherhood, the motherhood of the mysteries, the motherhood of the virgin of the world. The one, the motherhood of the mother who remains a virgin forever and bears children unto the eternity of things. All these wonders and mysteries are very simple. But the great mother of the earth, the great mother of the mysteries, is nature itself. Not as a blind force run by physical means and few chemical symbols to tell what it is, but a living, vital force that dreams, thinks, hopes, prays, does everything necessary to bring home the wayward children. That something which knows that the problem must be solved, that there can never be allowed for evil to survive, that never can ignorance prevail, never can violence destroy peace. And in the process of doing this, nature finds the individual, unfortunately, lacks the internal resources to make the proper decisions. He cannot say to himself, I have told a lie, and therefore I must correct it. The individual tells the lie, thinks he gets away with it, and then a consequence sets in that hurts him. And this consequence that sets in is the only way that he can learn not to lie. He cannot be expected at this time to come to the moral solution all by himself. If he does come to that solution, it is because he is already on the road that leads to light. He is on the way to something better. But for most persons, responsibilities must be evaded. They must be avoided in every way possible because they interfere with the smooth passing of a useless life. But that is the problem. There can be no smooth passing of ignorance. There can never be a success built upon stupidity. There can never be a peace built upon violence. There can never be a wisdom based upon a principle of ignorance. All these things have to be worked out in their own nature. And therefore, we are all concerned every day with the world around us. But the great mother of mysteries is with us. She is brooding over us now, just as she always has. She is the one that is constantly waiting to bring the wayward children back again to the rules. And she will never stop until they come back. No one will ever be permitted to be prudent, to be a truant. Actually, the truant will hate punishment. The dope addict will hate to be prevented from gaining his justification or his pleasure from the narcotics. He will try everything he can and will hate the laws that prevent him from doing what he pleases. But above the laws that will make us do what we please, there is a great law that tells us we must do that which is right. And in this way, we gradually discover that there is a universe of intelligence, a universe of wisdom, a universe of good, a universe dedicated to the service of eternal truth and dwelling forever in the presence of the divine being. Therefore, if we go along a little, as Boethius did, we may come to the gate that leads out from this life into something else. But when we go through, we will make the discovery that we have not been cast again into shadow, but that the light in ourselves, if it is there, will never leave us. And no matter what happens from that time on, truth will prevail in us, and that means that peace will take over. Now, if truth prevails in the average person, let's take an example, a very concrete one, of just how it operates. Supposing truth in the case in consideration is a problem of maintaining the health of the physical body. This is something that is very significant today. The physical body is, in a sense, our child. Each person has a body that is a kind of psychological infant with which he has been endowed, and we must train this body to serve him, or else he must relinquish his leadership and let the body take over. If the body takes over, he's in trouble. But he doesn't know he's in trouble. Because if the body is gratified, the rest of him goes to sleep. But the real fact of the matter is, the body has to be brought into harmony. It has to be disciplined. Now, when the body is brought into discipline, it is said to be healthy. When the soul is brought into discipline, it will be said to be healthy. When the infinite in man is brought into discipline, then the universal being is healthy. Every compromise that destroys the leadership of the superior over the inferior is dangerous and must be carefully avoided. So we know from every experience of living that we can and do have the power to change things, to make them what they should be, to accomplish that which is necessary for the common good and for our own good. But before we settle down to the Kriyachi processes of changing the world, which we're all much interested in the moment, we should give a little thought to changing ourselves. Because actually, we find that the world is very hard to change, and we become more and more disillusioned as we see nation after nation breaking the peace, country after country exploiting other countries, and it looks very terrible. But if we look down from the heights of those things into private relationships, we find people after groups out to destroy each other. We find exploitation. We find the effort to dishonorably accumulate at the expense of others. We find the broken home and the broken heart and the broken body. So that we know that the great change that is necessary, we have not even been able to make in ourselves. Little by little, however, we have an answer to this. As a health problem goes along, we suddenly learn that there are ways that health can be improved. But improving health is nearly always a discipline. We have to do some things differently. We have to sacrifice some excess in order to achieve moderation. We have to do something right in order to nullify that which is wrong. So, we discover that we only through discipline can we bring ourselves back into harmony. And in the moment we come back into harmony, the mysterious power of nutrition, which is another being, another radiant character, that nutrition can take over and do properly for us. All of the gods of antiquity must manifest through disciplined bodies. We think of wisdom, it's only possible through a disciplined personality. Wisdom, in the keeping of the foolish one, is folly. We know that there is only one way to achieve courage, and that is to be dedicated to a cause worthy of courage. If we try to use courage to defend negative things, we risk hurt some more. Everything is there to challenge, but nothing is there to hurt for the reason of destroying us. It is because it is the only way to prevent us from destroying ourselves. Now, if we look around us in society today, we see the problem that is coming everywhere at this time. We see the problems of space, of housing, of food, of health. All these things we see very definitely. We realize that something has to be done about them. So we start trying to plant trees. We try trying to find ways to purify water. We try to find ways to cleanse the earth of the pollutions and problems that beset it. We try to find ways to control a population, prevent the destruction of natural resources. Let us for a moment turn all these things back into ourselves and realize the reason that we can't solve the problem on the outside is because we haven't solved it on the inside. We haven't made the contact which make it possible. When Boethius was given the presence and vision of the saintly being that came to serve him in his sorrow, he gave us an account of a wonderful discipline, a wonderful courage against circumstances. So if we want to do any of these things on the outside, something must come to us on the inside. We cannot improve the world if we can't even save our own necks. We can't bring peace in the world if we can't have it in our own family. And how can we declare the ambitions are false when we can't stop using narcotics for our own pleasure? All these things come back, as Plato tells us, and as the whole philosophy tells us, is all of these great changes can only come when the human being arises to meet them. The humanity is an entity, one human being. This human being is made up of now pretty close to 6 billion separate human beings. They are like the cells in a human body. They are part of one constitution. Over this one being, is a unit, humanity, as one. This we find in the great man of the Zohar in Kabbalism. We find this one great being. And this great being's help and everything depends entirely upon the use that is made of the resources which comprise this great figure. We have to use these resources correctly. We have to solve the problem if we wish to have peace. We must make one humanity if we do not wish to be divided. Now, if we continue to wish to be divided, we not only have the problems of society, but we have the problems of ourselves. The individual who has not transcended his own selfishness is a very poor candidate for reforming the world. It is necessary for each person to recognize that he must make a personal contribution to the integrities of things. He must become aware of truth. He must become aware of what truth means. Not that it's a formula to write out and recite, not that it is something to be listened to in church, not that it's supposed to be in some scholarly textbook for the advancement of science. These are not the things. The truth we need is the inner truth of the love of truth, of the love of God as truth, deity recognized in the manifested form of the infinite parent, also always solicitous for the good of its children. We must think of the faith of men as being the gateways to conduct. We must think also of all the dreams and hopes of the ages and realize that they cannot be fulfilled until the individual loves truth better than he loves himself. There is no way of solving the problem unless we become aware of a strange and wonderful beauty, as Boethius saw it in his prison cell. A radiant being. We can call it peace. We can call it wisdom. We can call it love. We can call it whatever we want to call it. But it is a radiant power that blesses dedication, that rewards definite effort to perfect and to fulfill. It is something that can take over the life of the individual when he is no longer willing to dedicate that life to the fulfillment of his private ambitions. So with all these points, there is this wonderful opportunity that comes, which Boethius noted, and which is the love of truth. Now, love is a very capital word. Love to the average individual is a very physical word. Life and love to the theologian is an emotional experience. Life and love to the philosopher is an intellectual experience. But beyond this is the simple, direct fact of the love of truth. A love which does not require rationalization, does not require scientific proof, does not require anything but the evident fact that if we love peace, we will serve it. And if we serve peace, we will have peace. That if we serve and love truth, we will dedicate ourselves to truth. We will correct the curriculums of our schools. We will add knowledge to the courses necessary to instruct the young. And we will put ideals and principles ahead of profit and private enterprise. These things are the transformation of the love of truth as we know it today to the love of truth as it must be, a dedication to the fulfillment of the works of truth. Now, these works of truth are not simply strange things floating around in space somewhere, because truth, as Boethius found out, is a kind of being. It is something that lives but never dies. It is born but never ceases. In other words, it is almost actually another name for the human soul. But whatever we call it, it is the victory, the inevitable victory of good over evil. It is the complete victory of faith over fear. It is the complete victory of virtue over vice. And it is achieved because it is potentially possible to the individual. And each human being is born with the potential of the perfection of truth within himself. There is nothing that can prevent the individual from attaining truth except his own reluctance to improve his ways. Now, it's possible for him to realize that some of the truths that he must ultimately know are now beyond him. He's not going to be able to be perfect at the moment. He's not going to be able to be perfect as his Father in heaven is perfect. But he's going to be able to move forward step by step in a dedicated search for reality. The moment he starts these steps, the moment he begins to make an effort to direct and vitalize his own integrity, the journey towards reality begins. And in that moment, the light shining being of truth takes his hand and will lead him to eternity. And nothing can interrupt it. Nothing can prevent it. Nothing can have victory over the inevitable victory of reality over illusion. We have lived for a long time in illusion, and some of this illusion we call learned knowledge. We think of science as very wise. We think that science is solving all of everything. We think that Einstein was incredible when he found the formula for the atomic fission. These are not the truths we need. These are not truths at all. They are struggling with the misuse of universal potentials. The atom, the cell, all these things are each of them a unit. Each is a truth in itself. And it must be treated as one. It must be recognized. And if we wish to advance things, we must work together to make these various parts work together well in us. If we can make the cells of our own body cooperate, we have health. If we can make the various forms of knowledge to cooperate, we will have peace in the world. These things are part of our destiny. These things were well known to Plato and Pythagoras. They were well known to the foreign and eastern nations. And everyone has realized that it is impossible to solve our present problem unless the individual himself moves from a theoretical standpoint and ceases simply about talking about how things should be done to the dynamic experience of personal growth. And this personal growth, he can start where he is. He doesn't have to worry about anything. What is his problem at the moment? Well, maybe it's a need of a job. Or perhaps it is domestic difficulty. Perhaps it is a wayward child. We do not know what that is. But if whatever it is, if at this time he has not found a footing in a pattern for his own permanent growth, that problem which he faces today must become that footing or one of its equivalent. It must be something done by the individual himself to prove a sincere dedication to advancing the cause of common good. Once he makes one statement, the seed is planted. And once the seed is planted, it will never die. It believes one good deed leads to others. One bit of wisdom leads to greater wisdom. One concept of the divine love of God for man is fulfilled in the divine love of man for God. These things are all part of a wonderful mystery. Truth in a mystery. Love and wisdom in a mystery. All these things we have to face as coming to us in the course of years. So we can wait in our own way for the radiant woman who comes to the prison cell and says, "You have served God all your life. You have been a good person. And you are not going to be deserted in your gray hairs. The good you have done to others comes back as a radiant being to lead you to the peace and security that you desire." Under those conditions, things will get done in a reasonable length of time.